Well, before we look into this word, let's ask for God's help, shall we? Let's pray. His word is clear, so let us hear and do his will. Would you grant that to be so and true for each and every one of us today, Father? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're looking at hypocrites today. And don't look at the person next to you. When someone says to me they don't come to church because it's filled with hypocrites, I'm very often tempted to respond, well, don't let that stop you, there's always room for another one. And I think it's true, perhaps without even realising it, that in one way or another, everyone's a hypocrite. We're always trying to do the right thing for the wrong reasons, give an impression. And the temptation is, for those who come to Bible churches like ours, is to have all the privileges and the benefits of gospel truth and light, and yet not to be changed or affected by it, but simply to turn up, go through the motions, enjoy the nice love and fellowship, and the coffee and the hobnobs. Although I reckon I've been having hobnobs for a few weeks now, but I'll leave that there. And then just go your way. Even in Reformed or Evangelical sound gospel churches, you can have a formal Pharisee type of religion, a cups and kettles religion, where you're more concerned with being seen doing the right things than you are with being the real thing. There's no bigger hypocrites than the scribes and Pharisees. They're all shown and externals, aren't they, as we read? Let's look at this passage again in Mark chapter 7. One day some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem. Now Jesus had gone over to the other side of the lake. They landed at Gennesaret. So picture this, these Pharisees and scribes have come from Jerusalem, okay? So they've come either for a 2-day journey around, if they walked, to the other side of the lake to catch up with Jesus, or they spent half a day going across this 7-mile expanse of water to get to him. So they've gone to a lot of trouble. They've gone to a lot of trouble to get to him. And what's the first thing that strikes them? They notice that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands, and it's got to be the right way around the hands, alright, it's got to be cupped. It's no good doing that, you've got to do that, and the two little fingers have got to be together in the right joints, in the right place. As required, what? By God's word, by God's law, by the demands of holiness, no, by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water, the right way around, of course. This is but one of many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washings of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law, having come all that way from Jerusalem, what have they come for? They come to find their Messiah, as they come to seek the truth, as they come with troubled hearts to find out how they can be changed and have a real faith in God. So the Pharisees and teachers of law ask him, why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. You can just see them, can't you? They got the right gear on, they got the right attitude and stance, and they're looking down their noses, and my word, are they big noses, at Jesus and the disciples, and they're just full of themselves. Jesus gives an interesting description of such people in Matthew chapter 6. If you want to turn to that for a minute, page 1485 in the Big Church Bible, Matthew chapter 6. Well, does this description suit them? You need to read this and ask yourself, am I in here? Matthew chapter 6, page 1485. Jesus says, watch out! Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogue and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. So here they are, the Pharisees and the scribes, opinionated, self-righteous, full of themselves, how they sound, how they appear, their religious clutter and paraphernalia. They love cups and kettles more than they love God and having a changed heart. How deluded could you possibly be? What strikes them as they stand before Jesus? They're in the presence of God. Are their eyes and their feelings on their own sin and the fact that they are needy people and they've broken God's law? Do they longingly look to the Saviour and the Messiah for forgiveness and a life of meaning and change and power? No. All they can do is notice that some of the disciples fail to follow a Jewish ritual of their tradition. Pitiful, isn't it? It's pitiful. But wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Can it be you could be a Pharisee too? Is it possible? You wear the right clothes. You have the right face. You turn up and go through the right motions. Can it be that you've got a cups and kettles religion too? Oh yes, it can happen, even in an evangelical reformed church like this. I attend services very regularly, box ticked. I put my money in the box regularly, box ticked. I say and do the right things in church, box ticked. I can talk about religion and God and impress people, box ticked. I take communion, although I'm not sure why, box ticked. I'm a very nice person. Surely God must be pleased with me. Box ticked. I laugh at Peter's jokes. That's a big tick, surely. Maybe you even wash your hands in a special way. I don't know. Like the Pharisees. Yep. Pharisees are alive and well in 2017 in Britain. Yep, even in Colchester. So easy to do, isn't it? So easy to do. You know, looking at these Jewish leaders looking at the synagogue and the temple in Jerusalem, and you think about it, no nation on earth has been so blessed and privileged as Israel, but all we see is these sad, you see, people turning up to nitpick about ritual and ceremonies, and they've got an opinion about everything, about what doesn't matter, but they have no opinion about the Messiah and how to be right with God. This nation has been so privileged and blessed of God. They are now led by these nitpicking nanny goats, blind leading the blind, says Jesus. And you see it all around you today, don't you? A Christian church which is for the most part forsaken the gospel, just to be popular and give an appearance, got to be relevant, got to be acceptable. I read in the paper in the week, the former Archbishop or Bishop of Rochester says that the reason Britain's in its moral decline, it's all the mother's fault. Oh yeah, well, I slept with the women, and he's confirmed it. He says it's all the mother's fault, because it's not the school's fault, it's not the church's fault, it's the mother's fault, because they haven't taught their children the faith that they had. What faith was that exactly? They haven't passed it on, and our children haven't grown up in the Christian tradition. And you go to university to learn that. So mothers, I hope you're proud of yourselves. It's all your fault. I've never heard such a load of bull in all my life from a bishop. And that sums up the church today. It's a cups and kettles religion. Pathetic, sad, tragic. Like these Pharisees, they turn their back on the truth of God's word. We seem to be seen to be popular and relevant. We like to have people's praise and, you know, their admiration, and we're not going to do that by being narrow and bigoted and hanging on to this Bible business. But you see what's happening today, like with these Pharisees? We've buried the truth and the life-changing light of the gospel with the rubble of pots and kettles and cups. Religion. Are you under this rubble? Are you buried under it? You come along here each week, and I'm pleased to see you. You're nicely turned out and clean, and I'm pleased about that. You put your money in the box. Well, that's between you and God. You sing the hymns, or at least I can see your mouth moving. But what is God seeing when you come here? In fact, well, he sees you everywhere. He doesn't have to see you just here. He saw you when you left your front door this morning. He saw you last week. He saw you when you weren't thinking about him and looking out for him. He sees you. He knows you. What does he see when he looks into your heart? Does he see a heart that belongs to him, or a heart that says, well, so much Jesus, but not more? Let's not get OTT about this business now. You try to tell God you're a Pharisee? I'll go to the services regularly. I'll be nice. I'll even discuss religion with Peter. It makes me weep. It really does. If you think this kind of second-rate religion is going to get you right with God and stand you in good stead when you stand before God on the last judgment day, which incidentally could be tonight, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Jesus said, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, you know, I turned up every week, I sang this and I did that, you know, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. What is the will of the Father in heaven? Of God? What is the will? What did he say when Jesus was baptized? He said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Do you hear Jesus and do his will, which is that you should humble yourself, confess all your sin, hand it over to him, and become his subject, and stop being a rebel? Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. It couldn't be any plainer, could it? On judgment day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name." But I will reply, "I never knew you. I never knew you. You were never in a relationship with me. You never came to me with your sins and sought to be forgiven and changed. I never knew you. You never surrendered. You were a rebel then and you're a rebel still. I never knew you. Away from me, you breakers of God's law," or as Gold Version puts it a little more strongly, "you workers of iniquity." Yeah, that's shooting between the eyes, isn't it? You're going to get a shock if you're going to rely on Pharisees, if you're going to rely on cups and kettles religion to get you through to heaven and impress God. You're going to get a serious shock. Pretending, acting, going through the motions is going to do you no good whatsoever. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm a hard man, I'm quite a soft man, really. But sometimes I feel, I said this last week, but sometimes I feel we need a death ministry in this church, because sometimes I think you're just not listening. Sometimes I think you just don't hear me. You get this biblical truth, pure, simple, powerful, life-changing truth each week, and when I long to have a conversation with you about your soul and being right with God, what do I get? What do I get? Cups and kettles. I get your domestic issues. I get your financial issues. I get your medical health issues. Now, I'm not unconcerned about those, but don't you think I've got enough of them on my own? Well, that's being selfish, I'll admit. But I long for you to come to me and say, "I'm concerned about my soul. How do I get right with God?" That's the conversation I long to have. Do you really think you can get away with being a Pharisee and getting through with the acts and the motives, motivations? Can you think you can get away with a Pharisee type religion? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Going through the motions. Keeping myself happy. Occupied. Keeping Peter happy. Occupied. Giving the right impression. I'll turn up. I'll put the money in the box, I'll go through the motions, but steady on. You can have a little bit of me, but not too much. Just enough to fool everybody and get by and make me feel okay. Please, I beg you, wake up before it's too late. Some of you have had accidents, really, recently, haven't you? It's a work of God's grace that you're here today and you are given yet another opportunity to repent and pray to God and to seek his forgiveness. You could have broken a neck, fallen under a bus. You could have had a stroke this week. All kinds of things. Heart attacks, goodness knows what. I know, I've been accused, I hear, of being a fiery preacher. Well, that's fine, I don't, labels don't worry me, but if telling you what it is and what it says is, you know, that's fair enough. But I would be lying and I would be doing you a great disservice if I did anything else other than tell you the truth and to show you the way, the correct way, to find peace, satisfaction, joy, forgiveness, eternal life. And it's because I love you so much. Those who are wolves in sheep's clothing will tell you anything just so they can pack out their churches and get your money, and they're not really loving you because they're not telling you the truth. I've got to give an account to God one day soon. It's an awesome responsibility. I don't dare do anything less than pray for you, love you, and I'm doing this all through the week as I'm preparing this word that God has given me. And I'm asking God to make it real to you and vital to you and to change you. Otherwise, I'm just doing cups and kettles. I'm just going through the motions. I'm not looking for people's pats on the backs or accolades. I'm not here on an ego trip. I'm not here building up an empire and a name for myself. I've got a job to do. You've got a job to do. You owe it to yourself and your soul to get right with God and listen up. Get away from the Pharisees. Get away from the cups and kettles. You want the real thing, do you not? You want to be the real deal, do you not? Do you want life with Jesus on a Monday morning, on a Wednesday morning, on a Friday morning, on a Saturday night? Or do you want what the world is giving you and what the devil will give you and what the Pharisees and the cups and kettles will give you if you must have a little bit of religion? Have some of this, there you go, says Satan. I don't mind you coming to church, says Satan. Out a week, that's fine. Go through the motions, that's fine. But just don't get carried away. I still want to possess your heart and your life. Okay, what is necessary to solve this issue? Okay, what is necessary? And something is necessary, very necessary. Jesus tells us in Matthew, verse 7. Bit of a typo there. Must change my star folder.
7.
Thank you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. What's going to be given to you? What are you going to find? What's going to be open to you? What is it? Well, you're not going to understand what every is you're supposed to knock and ask for until you understand your situation, so that you can ask and request from God the right thing. Now, here's the issue. Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says, the Son of Man, the reason I've come, says Jesus, the reason I allowed myself to be crucified on the cross, the reason I rose from the grave and went back to heaven, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. And that includes you. If you're still a Pharisee, going through the motions, you are lost. You're all at sea, you're outside of God and His kingdom, it's a sham. Don't live the sham of the Pharisees' cups and kettles religion. So if you're going to be given the right thing, if you're going to seek and find the right thing, if you're going to knock and it's going to be open to you, you must understand you need to be sought by God, and He's seeking you now, He's talking to you now, and you need to be saved because you're lost, you're outside of God, you're still amongst the Pharisees, you're still with the religious crowd. Jesus says, I'll tell you the truth, says Jesus, I'll tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, it's got to be that radical. A new heart, a new life, a new will, a new mind, a total transformation. Unless you are born again by me, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You will still be, even if you turn up here, outside of the kingdom of God. Can you believe that? You can. I suspect, and it saddens me to say, that maybe a few of you are. Pharisees. Cups and kettles. You may fool me, but you don't fool God. Jesus saw right through this crowd. He saw right through them. He knows what they're thinking, where they're coming from, what they're all about. They just want to be seen of men. Well, he says, you've got your reward. You're seen of men. That's it. That's your reward. Adulation, popularity, and then you die, and then you appear before God. And what on earth good does all that adulation and feel-good factor do you when you stand before God, and you and me will stand before God? What good is nodding off during the service going to do you when you stand before God and he says to you, were you listening? Were you hearing? Only those who do the will of God will enter the kingdom of heaven. What must you do? Repent. Know that you sinned and rebelled against God and broken his law. Know you're in a desperate state. Know you're lost. And seek and knock and ask God for mercy and forgiveness and a new heart and life. You must be born again. You must. Because if you're not, I'm afraid I won't see you on the last day before God. It breaks my heart to say that. Don't be led astray by this bunch of dimwits, the Pharisees. Break away from your sinful heart, which will delude you and tell you, calm down now. Peter's getting worked up again like he does. Let's calm it down. Don't take it too seriously. You're cool. You're good. No, you're not. No, you are not cool. You are not good. You're outside of the kingdom of God. Even sitting here, you're with the Pharisees, you're going through the motions, you've got a cups and kettles religion. Listen, what are you going to have? What do you want today? In your deepest heart of hearts, what is it you want? Do you want religion in little pieces, now and again? Do you want to just feel good for a while and then carry on living as you like? Or do you want to be the real thing and the real deal? Do you want a new life, an eternal life that starts today and goes on forever? You're not going to get that with the Pharisees and religion. Do you want real life with Jesus? Cups and kettles religion isn't going to get you into heaven. The Pharisees will be locked out of heaven. Do you want to be amongst them? Really? Clear out the cups and the kettles. Get rid of all the clutter that's buried the pure gospel truth and preventing you handing over your heart and life to Jesus. Away with all the clutter. Get rid of the junk. Make room in your heart to receive Jesus. And those that seek, those that ask, those who knock at the door of Jesus, it will be opened. You will receive, you will find. Do you want him? How badly do you want him? Your situation is desperate. You're outside of the kingdom of God. Jesus said so. We just read it, didn't we? You're not going to fool God. You're not going to get one over on God. All these stupid jokes you get on television, you know, that St. Peter's going to let you in at the gate if I slip him a £20 note. Well, that's rubbish. Where do we get these stupid ideas from? It's wishful thinking. It's wishful thinking. It's not going to happen. The narrow gate that leads to life is guarded by Jesus. And only those who know him, who has his seal in their hearts of the Holy Spirit, are going to be allowed in. St. Peter's nowhere to be seen. He's cleaning the toilets or something like that. Okay? He's not around. It's not going to happen. Okay. Turning to John chapter 14, page 1661 in the Church Bible. Page 1661 in the Large Church Bible. John chapter 14. Have I upset you? Have I ruffled your feathers? Have I made you uneasy? Good. Listen to this. This is Jesus speaking to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Are you trusting Jesus with your soul and your sin? Well, are you? Have you done it? There is more than enough room in my Father's home. Yeah, there is actually space in the kingdom of heaven for you if you will trust Jesus and ask him to change you and forgive you. But that's going to happen first. This is not automatic. If this were outside, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything's ready, I will come and get you. He's coming to get you. Well, he's coming to get you, believer. What a lovely thought. Unbeliever, he's coming to get you. That's a different thing, isn't it? And you will stand before him and give an account. If you've not trusted him, if you've not believed in him, that he is the Son of God, that he can forgive you, and that he will enter into your heart and life and change you. You have refused to do that and hand over everything to him. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, dear believer, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. What way is that? This is the way. This is the way. Verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, not the Pharisees, not religion, not going through the motions, me. Have you got me? Have I got you? Have you handed over to me? Do you possess me? Do I possess you? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one's going to get to the Father except through me, says Jesus. Okay. This has been a hard-hitting sermon, but sometimes I feel, in the absence of a death ministry here, I have to show you by the scruff of the neck. But I do it lovingly, because I'm concerned about your soul, I really am. Would you please do something about this today? Leave the Pharisees and the cups and kettles, leave all that junk behind. Leave all the self-righteous going through the motions. Please, do the real thing. Do the right thing. Surrender to Jesus this morning and become the real deal. A genuine born-again believer. Let's do that now, shall we? You pray this prayer with me and you do business with Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, I want done with cups and kettle of religion, going through the motions, going through the ceremonies, trying to impress. I'm done with that, Lord, because it's done nothing for me. I want you, Lord Jesus. Open my eyes, open my heart, take away my sin, change me, make me new through the power of your Holy Spirit. I confess all my sin to you. I repent and turn away from the Pharisees and the old life, and I turn to you now. And I'm asking you to change me and do an amazing work. Because I want to be the real thing. I want to be with you. And I want you with me. Always. In Jesus' name. Amen.